Hebrews 11. Now, I know that looking at faith, faith is a knowledge and a conviction, is a deep-seated assurance created in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 11 says that faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and it's that conviction of things not seen which we're going to see today. So Hebrews 11, we're going to start a reading at verse 32, but our text is just verse 35. So verse 35 is our text. So we'll read verse 32 through verse 35, 1196. Hebrews 11 at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. And here's our text. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. And that's as far as reading today together in Hebrews 11. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you are reading through a book and you get to the last chapter, there are certain expectations that you have when you come to the conclusion. You have an expectation that the conflict will be resolved. The same thing when you're watching a movie, you get to the last 15 minutes, you're hoping the bad guys are going to lose, the good guys are going to be triumphant, the problem is going to be solved. But that does not always happen in books. Sometimes you have that cliffhanger. And the same applies to our lives. Sometimes what we hope to happen doesn't come to be. Our life does not go according to our desires. Sometimes it happens that in our lives and in society as a whole, the wicked seem to flourish while the righteous are persecuted, and we don't have the conflict resolution that we hope that we expect to see. Not everything is as it should be. So how do we deal with disappointment and delay in this fallen world? Well, today, as we return to Hebrews 11, we find the issue of resurrection. Hebrews 11, verse 35 begins by saying, by faith, women received back their dead by resurrection. Now, the issue of resurrection, the hope in a future resurrection, brings our faith close to home. It is an issue that I am fairly safe to say has affected every family in different ways. The fact is, there are no members here who have ever stood up against a giant with a sling and stone in battle. I do not think any member here has ever been cast into a fiery furnace or has ever been thrown into the den of lions. But when it comes to death, we have all experienced the sting of death touching the lives of those whom we love. And some have even experienced the death of their own child. So in many ways, Hebrews 11, verse 35 is bringing faith and the benefit of faith close, near, and dear to our hearts. How does faith help us? How does it benefit us when we are standing by the grave of our loved one? How does faith strengthen us when we feel the sting of death? So today we consider this theme. Jesus Christ promises to give a better life to those who die in faith. And at first point then, we look at the challenge that death poses to our faith. Death is the last enemy, and death is so final. Death is called the cold dew that falls on our brow. Death is the pale kiss that closes our eyes forever. Sometimes death comes slowly as our bodies waste away. The White family is experiencing this weekend. Other times, death is sudden and unexpected. It is said rightly that death comes for us all. The young can die, the old must die, but we all will die. This is nothing new for us. We say this common saying. There are two things certain in life, death and taxes. But how does faith help us when we see faith, when we see our death with our own eyes approaching, when our death or the death of a loved one comes near? Well, Hebrews 11, verse 35, which is our text, starts by saying this: by faith, women received their dead. Now, in verse 35, you'll note that the word women is plural. There are multiple women who received back their dead ones alive. There are three clear examples found in the Bible. We have the widow of Zarephath, that's 1 Kings 17, which we read. We have the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4, and also Mary and Martha in John chapter 11. So of these three examples, we have women who literally received back their loved ones taken away in death. But we're going to just focus on one of these, and that is the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. The faith of the widow is clear in her actions, in her reception of the word of God spoken by Elijah, and then her response to that commandment. Now remember, the context of 1 Kings 17 is there is this drought, this famine that is covering the entire Middle East, and Elijah goes to this widow who is about to make the last meal for herself and for her only son. And Elijah says to this widow, I want you to first go and make a cake of bread for me. I want you to put my needs before your own needs and the need of your own son, before your own well-being. I want you to put my word into practice. I want you to believe what I say. I want you to act in faith. Make a cake of bread for me. Do this act by faith, and your flour and your oil will not run out until the rain comes again. Now, this act of faith goes contrary to everything that our human logic and reason would have us believe. Why would I take my bread and give it to this stranger? Why would I take the food from the mouth of my own son and give it to this strange man? So the challenge is simply this: do not doubt, but rather believe, obey. And what does she do? She acts in that faith. She uses up that little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, makes a cake, bread for Elijah, gives that food to him, and he receives it. She acts in faith. Puts obedience before her own well-being and before her own son. But as time goes on, if you remember the passage that we read in 1 Kings 17, time goes on. After a period of time passes, her son dies. Strikes the heart of this woman and becomes a severe challenge to her faith. She is a widow, and she has only one son. This is her future. This is where she has any hope of a future. And she interprets the death of her son as an indictment against her. You see that? We read that in verse 17 and 18. She says to Elijah, why have you come here and why have you taken the life of my child? Have you done this to show me my sin? She sees the death of her son, verse 18, as a proof of her own sin. Has the Lord killed my son because I am a sinner? Remember, that's what Galatians says. The wages of sin is death. So if people are dying, it is a reminder of sin. So she says to Elijah, did you come here to put my sin on display and to take the life of my own son? Has the Lord repaid my kindness? Has the Lord repaid my act of faith by killing my son? Taking the only source of joy and light that I had in this world. Now this response is understandable. How often don't God's people struggle with that internal conflict, interpreting hardships and trials and tribulations as an attack of the Lord? Did God send this trial upon me because something I've done? Should I have done something else? Could I have avoided this if I would have done B instead of doing A? We understand that God sends suffering on the wicked in this world as a foretaste of their eternal judgment, but why has this trial come upon the righteous? Why do those of faith suffer in this way? Is God against me? Is he holding my own sin before my eyes? It's the ache of a heart that has lost a loved one. But Jesus has an answer to this understandable conflict of the heart. The answer that Jesus gives is in John 11, speaking to his disciples after Lazarus died. Jesus says this: "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So although Jesus is speaking of Lazarus, the truth is applied to our passage in 1 Kings 17 as well. This illness is not to death, but it's so that God would be glorified and the Son of God may have his glory manifested. So although this loved one, this only son, dies by faith, their loved one will be raised again. By faith, the woman receives back their dead by resurrection. That's what our passage says. By faith, women received back their dead by resurrection. So yes, death is a real challenge to our faith, but we live by faith, not by sight. We live trusting in the promises of God, knowing that he is able to do immeasurably more than we think and imagine. Although we don't see our loved one here on this earth, I believe that Jesus lives and that he is the resurrection and the life. I know by faith that death is not stronger. I know this because I believe Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. So the reward for faith, our second point now, given to these three women is very clear. The death of the loved one is met with the resurrection of the loved one. By faith, the dead are raised. So in 1 Kings 17, Elijah takes this young boy, this child, bringing him into the upper room, laying him on his bed, and Elijah stretches his body over this young child three times, and life comes back into his body. 2 Kings 4, that's Elisha. Elisha also brings up this young boy into his own quarters, puts his body upon him so that warmth comes upon him, and the Shunammite's son sneezes seven times and opens his eyes. John 11, that's with Lazarus. Jesus will call at the grave, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus comes out. Mary and Martha receive back their dead brother from the grave, even after he had been dead for 4 days. So the reward for faith that is found here in Hebrews 11 is specific, clear, and shared. These women received back their loved ones by faith. By faith in the God of life. By faith in the God of the resurrection. Sometimes we forget this fact, but the resurrection is not just a New Testament concept. Job looked for the day when his flesh that had been corrupted would be raised, standing on the earth, seeing his Savior face to face. Interestingly, there are 6 recorded resurrections in the Bible before Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, 3 of them in the Old Testament. 2 of them we already talked about with Elijah and Elisha. The third one is 2 Kings 13. That is where a dead body is thrown on top of the bones of Elisha and that dead man comes back to life again. So the hope of the resurrection linked to our faith is not something which is unique to the New Testament, but is shared through the church of all ages. God's people by faith know that death is not the end. They know that the enemy must be defeated, that God is the God of the living. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when Jesus comes to earth, he says this about himself: I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That is what Jesus said in John 11 to these very grieving widows. These very grieving sisters, I should say. And when asked if they believe this, Mary and Martha responded by saying, "Yes, Lord, we believe that you are the Christ." So when faith bumps up against death, faith says, "I believe what Jesus says about himself is more strong, is more firm than even the certainty of death." That is faith. I believe what Jesus said is true, even in the face of death. So what about you? Do you believe what Jesus said about himself? In the context of death, it's hard. There's a rub. There's friction there. When we are standing by the grave of our loved one, or we're looking at the impending death of a loved one, or our own impending death, do you believe what Jesus said about himself? That he is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. Do you believe that? Those who live by faith do. They believe that he is the resurrection and the life, and that he gives life to all those who believe in him. And you remember what happens with these in these three situations. What happened to these three individuals? They were brought back to life. 1 Kings 17, the Shunammite's woman as well, and Lazarus, all brought back to life. By faith, these three were raised again. However, all three died again. You understand that, right? These three who were raised died again. Don't forget this point. Three men died, two boys and a man died, were raised again by faith, and they had to die again. These three people died twice. So where is the good news? What hope do we have today, we who are called to live by faith? These women believed in the promised coming Messiah, who is the resurrection and the life. They lived life of faith. By faith, their loved ones were raised, and yet their loved ones had to die again. Are we, brothers and sisters, little more than dead men walking? Was the faith of these individual women too weak to secure promised everlasting life? Or was their Savior too weak to give everlasting life? Did your loved one die because they did not have strong enough faith, or because you did not have strong enough faith? Or even worse, did our loved ones die because Jesus was not able to save to the uttermost? As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, if the dead are not raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If there is no resurrection, your faith does you no good, and you are to be pitied among men. Because those who died by faith and remain in the grave are really no better off. If there is no lasting resurrection, do we really have good news? Paul put it like this: to live is Christ, to die is gain. Well, what is the gain to death if death still wins? Yes, life in this world is a blessing. Life in this world is a gift, but it is not eternal and it is not perfect. Would we choose what is temporary and passing, life in the present world, at the expense of true, lasting, eternal, and glorified life? To illustrate this point, would we be wise enough to pick a Rolex over a Timex? Or would we be wise enough to pick a steak dinner meal over dry crackers? If we're comparing this life to eternal life, do we know what is better? Is there a longing in our heart that knows where true and lasting life is to be found? Praise God, death is not the strongest. The life we live today, in many ways, is a shadow. The joys are muted, our senses are dull. Even the life we have today is nothing compared to the life that is to come. Faith looks forward with hope, and that hope does not disappoint. So in our last point, we find that true faith not only looks for life, but it looks to an end, a better life. If you still have your Bibles open, look at how Hebrews 11 verse 35 concludes. So thus far, we've saw that women received back their dead by resurrection, but those women grieved again, if they themselves weren't dead first. The three men who were raised died again. Well, look at how verse 35 concludes. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. These all died in the hope that one day they might be raised, raised not to another fallen temporary life in this flesh, but raised to a better life. To be sure, and I don't want to diminish this fact, to be sure, it would be wonderful to have the loved ones who have died in the Lord back from the grave. We would desire to be reunited with our loved ones. But upon further reflection, is that what your heart of faith really wants? Is that what we would want for them? To be brought back into this world, into this fallen flesh, only to die again. Is that what we would want? Is there not something better, something greater that our heart of faith longs for? Is there not a greater life, a better life that we desire not only for them, but also for us? Yes, to live is Christ. This life is a blessing, but it is temporary. It is mortal. These three illustrations of resurrection prove that God is able to give life to our bodies. Yes and amen. But what is the ultimate hope? What is the ultimate end? What is the ultimate life that we long for? True faith is looking for a better life. Not another this life, but a better life. There are two kinds of resurrections that we find in our passage. One kind of resurrection these women received as these three individuals were brought back to life. A blessing, no doubt. But there is another kind of resurrection that our hearts of faith are looking forward to. And I want to read with you from 1 Corinthians 15. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul outlines what this life is like and compares it to our present life. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to start at verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, not raised perishable, like these three men, but raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. For the perishable body, which you and I have today, must put on the imperishable. These three men, they were raised again to a mortal body. But when Jesus Christ comes back, we'll be raised again and put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the second resurrection, which Hebrews 11 is drawing, is pointing us to, the resurrection that our hearts long for, is a perfect, lasting, imperishable, immortal life of eternal joy. If our loved ones died in the Lord, by faith, they were looking forward to not the first resurrection that these three men had. They were looking forward to the second resurrection, the better resurrection. They longed to be raised, immortal, perfect, like Christ, our glorious head. That is the trajectory of true faith. True faith looks to something better, a glorious life, a better life. So although it is true that we miss our loved ones, we know that they died in the hope of being raised to a better life. By faith, we want the better resurrection for them and for us. As 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says, Jesus is called the first fruit of the resurrection. In him alone do we find true and everlasting life. To conclude, death seems unavoidable in this life. But there is a certainty more certain than death, that Jesus has been raised and he will raise his people on the last day. That is a certainty more certain than death itself. The resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting is the hope for which our faith yearns. Something that we look forward to. As our theme states, Jesus Christ promises a better life to those who die in faith. How does this faith help you? How does it steel you? How does it give you resolve, comfort, when you come face to face with death, either your own death or the death of a loved one? The only thing that can get you through is the promise that Jesus gives to raise his people up and give them a better life. A life that he has promised to those who live by faith. So as we confess together, I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. That is the end, the goal, the hope for which our faith clings. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and the resurrection he gives is not simply another mortal life, but the resurrection he gives is a perfect, glorified life, a better life. So we long with eager expectation for the time when our faith will be made sight, when our bodies will be resurrected and glorified, made perfect, immortal like Jesus Christ himself. And when we come face to face with our own death or the death of a loved one, may this certain future strengthen our resolve that we believe in Jesus, who is the Christ and is the resurrection and eternal life. In his name we pray. Amen.